in a series, and we're wrapping it up today on my church. What does it mean to be a member of the church? And especially here at Three Point, our whole mission is to love God. And the first week we talked about loving God. And to love God, you have to know God. You have to know Him intimately. You have to know His character. You can't just know about Him. You can't just read about God in a book and say, oh, yeah, I know Him. You have to really dig down and get to know Him personally, His character. And then last week we talked about what does it mean to love others? What does it mean to love one another? And we talked about Christ qualified it by saying, love one another as I have loved you. What does that mean? It means to become a servant. We protect others. We watch over others. We think of others as better than ourselves. We pray for them. We pray with them. And so today we're going to look at the last point of our mission statement, and that is to make disciples. And what does that mean? Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Oftentimes when I was teaching, especially in the elementary school, sometimes I would have a child come in, and you could tell that the child was upset about something, and I would ask him and said, like, my parents are getting a divorce. Oh, I'm sorry. And oftentimes, incorrectly, they would respond, yes, it's my fault. Sometimes when you're dealing and seeing people that are in abusive situations, whether it's a spouse or whether it's a child or whatever, oftentimes they will respond incorrectly, it's my fault. Sometimes my parents are fighting. Why are your parents fighting? Wrongly, again, it's my fault. And we think about that because a child oftentimes can't see beyond selfishness or self-centeredness. Think about from a two-year-old on, when they're playing with toys, it's always mine, mine. They can't see beyond themselves. But Paul tells us in his word, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But then when I became an adult, I put away childish thoughts and things. And so as we grow up, we learn that it's really not always about us. But then we become a Christian. We become born again. And it kind of starts all over again. And Paul addresses that. He says, I wish you would get past the milk and start to get to the meat. But oftentimes we have to be reminded of the milk because we still think it's all about us. Christ died for us. Yes, that's true. But Christ died for us so that we could have our sins forgiven and be reconciled to God the Father. And we still think it's about us. And sometimes in the church it comes in like this, you know. You know, I've been praying to God. I've been praying and praying and praying, but God's just not answering all my prayers. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. It's about me. Maybe there's a sin or there's something going on in my life, a stronghold that's keeping God from blessing me. Wrongly thinking because you're being blessed every single day. And sometimes we just look at these kind of things and we base our views on this lie that we get from our enemy. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not eloquent enough. You're certainly not talented enough. And we believe these lies. But as we go through life, life is a whole bunch not about you. In fact, say that. Life isn't about me. It's not about you. It's not about me. Our mission is to love God, to really know Him, and to love others, to grow in community, to serve, pray, protect, iron sharpening iron, and then to make disciples. And what does that even mean? It means making a difference. It means how do we connect people to this great God and His kingdom? How do we do that? Our mission, love God, love others, and make disciples. Our vision at Three Point is to see people transformed by God's amazing love and grace. We want to see that happen. So how does that happen? Well, Christ commissions us, and He tells us to go into the world, be His witnesses, making disciples, baptizing, teaching them. We make disciples for His glory. I love what He says to John at the end of the Gospel of John. Or He says to Peter. You know, Peter's denied Christ three times. They've seen Christ a couple times now as he's been resurrected. And so Peter goes back to what he knows best. He's going out fishing. So he goes out fishing one morning, and a couple of the disciples are with him, and he's out there. And they look, and as they look, they see someone on the beach around a charcoal fire just cooking breakfast. Fish for breakfast. It's what they did. So let's just go with it. They had fish for breakfast. And as they look, Peter realizes it's Jesus. And what does he do? He takes off into the water and races to the shore while the rest of the disciples row the boat in. Okay? Peter just can't wait to be in the presence of Jesus. And as he's there, Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? He says, yeah, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. And then it says this in verse 17. He, Jesus, said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. So Jesus said to him, what? Feed my sheep. Go spend time with people. Teach them. Witness to them about the kingdom of God. Today, I want to take us back to the Old Testament because sometimes when it comes to making disciples and I start talking about evangelism and things like that, a lot of us start to say like, that's not me. Sorry I keep doing this. It's when Steve's here, he tapes this to me. Anyway, there's my ADD kicking in again. I want to go back to Moses because God's going to tell him to do something and Moses is going to tell him five times why he can't do it. And I want you to listen to his excuses, and then I want you to hear God's rebuttal, because I think that many of us give these same kind of excuses to God when God is placing a calling on our lives to go into the world and to be his witness. God is going to put us in situations oftentimes that you're going to say, wow, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's way over my head. God is doing that because you have to put your faith and your trust in Him. I mean, Paul tells us in the letter to the Ephesians, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has already put a plan in your life. You just have to walk in it. It's already there. He's already gone before you. He's already there. Now, Moses is 80, 81, and God is giving him this heavy responsibility. In Exodus 3, chapters 1 through 10, I'm just going to kind of skip through this. Moses is keeping his flocks, keeping the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, who's a priest of Midian. And he goes up onto this mountain, and as he's there, the angel of the Lord appears to him in a flame in a bush. And Moses says, I'll turn aside and see why this bush isn't burning. Okay, that's the first thing he does. He actually turns. A lot of times, we don't give God our attention. Maybe we start to feel something. God, you know, I've got this, something is telling me I need to reach out and call this person. Someone's saying I need to visit this person. Something is going on, but yet we turn away from it. Moses instead turns. I want to see what's going on. And then, of course, God says, don't come near, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Who are you? I am the God of your father. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. He was afraid. And then he says this in verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their suffering. Seen, heard, and know. God has seen and heard and know everything that you're going through, what you're experiencing. And so when you are crying out to Him, God, I need your help. God, I need something. He already knows. And then he says, I have come to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and I'm going to bring them to a land that's good and broad, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the mosquito bites, the Audacites, all of the ites. Okay? You're going to go there, and behold, the cry of the people has come to me, and I've seen their oppression, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to get him to let my people go. So that's the task. And Moses is like, what? And he's given God five excuses. And I want you to listen to these excuses that he gives, because I think these are sometimes the same excuses. Well, you know, Paul, I can't start a small group. Paul, I can't really be part of a food ministry. Paul, I really can't visit anybody. I'm no good. Listen to what Moses says to God. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" The first thing, he's insecure. Who am I? And a lot of times you may say that to God. God, who am I that you're asking me to do something like this? I'm no good at praying. Why are you choosing me? Who am I? I'm nobody, right? When the enemy tells you you're nobody, you're not good enough, just say, you're right. But God is somebody, and God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter who you are, because it's not about you. It's about him. God encourages Moses with his presence. This is what he says in verse 12. He says, "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Who am I? Doesn't matter who you are, Moses. I'm going with you. And when you do this, you're going to come and you're going to worship here. And my presence is going to be with you. So his first thing, I'm insecure. I can't do this. Who am I? And a lot of times we say to God, who am I? Why would you choose me? I think the second thing that he does here is he kind of talks about being not learned enough, not smart enough. Let's look at verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" I mean, the first question Moses asks is, "Who am I?" And now Moses is asking, "Well, who are you? Who do I tell them is sending me?" Because they're not going to listen to me. I'm just a sheep herder out here in Midian. They're not going to listen to me. Who do I tell them is sending me? So God educates him with his name. Look at verse 14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I am who I am. I always was. I am now. I will always be. I am Mr. Consistent. I don't change. You hate me. I still love you. You deny that I even exist. I am still here for you. You don't put your faith in me. That's okay, because I put my faith in you. Yehovah Nissi, the Lord is conqueror. Yehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Yehovah Shama, the Lord is here. Yehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. You know, sometimes we think, yeah, you know, we sing Jehovah Jireh, and oh yeah, the Lord provides. Do you realize he's providing for you? He's giving you air. He's giving you friends. He's giving you clothes. He's giving you food. He's providing for you every single day. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Yehovah Raha, the Lord is healer. El Elyon, the God Most High. Yehovah Tiskendu, the Lord is our righteousness. Elohim, the Lord is God. Basically, Moses is saying, well, who am I? Who are you? And God is saying, Moses, do you have all day? I can go on and tell you who I am. I am the God who is, and the God who was, and the God will be. I'm your protector. I'm your banner. I'm your healer. And I go before you. That's who I am. I think the third thing that Moses says to him is, well, I don't have any credibility, God. I just don't get all this. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, "Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" You know, I haven't studied enough. They're not going to listen to me. Why would somebody come to a small group that I start? Why would somebody want to be part of a ministry that I want to go into the community and I want to reach out to kids that are starving? I want to be part of a ministry that deals with battered and abused women. They're not going to listen to me. I don't have anything to offer. I'm not credible. I need more information. I haven't studied enough. I don't have a PhD in this. I need more information. You know what trumps information? Revelation. Revelation trumps the information. God empowers him. Look what he says in verses 2 through 5. The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff, a stick." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God, their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. God empowers him. God gives him a sign. God gives him a staff. God gives him a gift. Guess what? God has given you gifts. God has given you talents. God has given you a sign. You may not have turned to face the burning bush yet. You're still trying to run from God. But he has planned something for you to do. What? You want to see God work supernatural in your life? How many of you want God to do something supernatural in your life? Okay? Whatever you're holding in your hand, throw it down. I can't do it because of, throw that down. I don't have money, throw it down. I don't have education, throw it down. My family would never approve of that, throw it down. What if I lose my friends? Throw it down. Whatever you're holding on to, get rid of it and allow God to work in your life. Use me. Here I am. The story of the blind man, where he is brought before the religious leaders and they're going, "Well, this Jesus must be a charlatan. You know, you can't be healed on the Sabbath. You know, who did this to you?" And the blind man goes, "I don't know anything about all that. What I do know is I was blind, but now I see." That was his witness to what Christ has done for you. What is your witness of what Christ has done for you? You know, I used to be like this, but Jesus changed my life, and now I'm like this. That's all you have to do. Be a witness to what Christ has done in your life. What were you blind from at one time, but now you can see? I think the fourth thing that excuse that he gives is his inabilities and his shortcomings. Look at verse 10. "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue.'" Some people said he stuttered. I can't do this. You ever listen to someone who stutters? You ever had a conversation with someone that stutters? What do you have to do? You have to really listen. You have to listen to what they're saying. Maybe God had Moses stuttering. I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe he was a stutterer. Maybe he just couldn't think of words fast enough. We don't know what it is. But if he used him as a stutterer, maybe he's doing that because you have to intently listen to what he's saying. Use what God has given you. Don't try to be someone that you're not. This is what God says to him. This is verses 11 and 12. He says this, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will speak.'" In other words, Moses, I made you. I created you. I gave you your mouth. I gave you your abilities. I've given you this task. I will be with you. I will speak for you. I will give you the words. Put your faith and your trust in me. Paul, I can't speak like so-and-so. I can't teach like so-and-so. I can't sing like so-and-so. so-and-so. I certainly can't pray like so-and-so. God is saying, let me be your voice. Just do and step into what I've called you to do. God made you, God designed you, and He will give you Himself for His glory. That's what you need to know and to believe. Not, I can't, but God can. God can. God can. God can. Do not believe what the enemy is saying to you about you. Do not bring into existence, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. Quit buying into that. Don't limit yourself by what you think you can't do, because God can give you everything to do everything. And then the final one, Moses. This is verse 13. He says, but he said, and this is Moses, but he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. I ain't going. I ain't doing it. I'm just, you know, I've given you all of these. You've given me answers to all these. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Listen how God responds, however. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you both what to do. In other words, the first thing, and we kind of skip over it, is God became angry. I think Moses was maybe trying his patience a little bit. No, I can't do it. 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 God finally says, stop. Is that Aaron coming? I'll send him with you. I'll give him the words to say too. I'm going to teach both of you, and both of you are going to go, and both of you are going to speak. He's angry. Moses is wearing him out. How many of us are wearing God out? God, I can't do that. I feel like maybe I should do this, but I'll start when things kind of settle down in my life. When are things going to settle down in your life? Have things settled down in your life? I thought maybe when I retired from the school system and I could do the pastoring full time, that things would settle down. Oh, they got crazier. Crazier. Things just don't settle down. That's called life. God gave him a partner. God will give you what you need. God has called each of us to be kingdom builders, and He is with us every step of the way. When Jesus was preparing the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, He says, go and wait. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. That's all we're called to be. This is what God has done for me. This is who Jesus Christ is. Sometimes when someone comes up and says, hey, I need prayer, and they tell you what's going on in their life, sometimes it is so overwhelming that all you can do is let your eyes go like this and you say, I don't even know what to say. No, you don't, but God does. And God will speak through you. And sometimes all you can say is, I'm praying that the God of peace, the God who provides, the God who loves you more than anything will just wrap His arms around you and draw you close, and you could feel His presence in this very moment. Maybe that's all. Maybe that's the first step. I know my life at one time was out of control. I used to do this. I used to do that. But God came to me and stopped me on the road of destruction I was on, turned me around, and now my life, is it always perfect? No, but I know that I know that I know that He is with me every step of the way. And that's what we're called to do. So when we look at loving God, yes, I love God. Do I know Him? I want to know Him more. You can read the Bible every single day for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and you will still never fully understand who God is. You got to know God, experience Him, live in His presence, spend time with Him. Then we have to love others. What does that mean? That means to iron sharpen iron. to love with, to pray for, to pray with, to come alongside, to be a paraclete, to come alongside and spend time, help someone in their journey, and then to make disciples. And that's the hard one. What does that mean? For some of you, I don't know, maybe God is telling you, that next door neighbor of mine, I need to go and just talk to them. You know, I just need to go spend some time with them. And maybe opening the door, you don't just bust in like some people, have you heard the word of God? You know, don't, you know, it's just like, be a neighbor. Come in. Bring a thing of soup and just sit and listen. And you're going to find people who are hurting, people that are broken, people that are far from God. And the more they begin to talk, the more God will give you wisdom of what to say. Father, I just pray as we finish this up to understand that we're not ever finished, that you are a God that loves us, that you are a God that is continually at work in our lives. And so, Father, I just ask that you would embolden us, empower us to be the people that you have called us to be your witnesses for this world. And, Father, we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.